Amen. Thank you, Brother Rogers. Good to be with you this morning. Appreciate the opportunity. And am I all turned on here like I'm supposed to be? All right. And it's a blessing to be here at your church. And you're not too far away from snow. We are staying with my daughter. We have a daughter who and her husband live in Wheatland. How many know where Wheatland is? That's not too far. And he is a police officer in Grass Valley. How many know where Grass Valley is? And in Grass Valley, they get snow. So, I mean, you're not that far away from snow. But we don't have any. Problem is, in Iowa, we don't have anywhere to go where we can escape like you do in California. So we're in the southeast corner. They had a little bit of snow and ice this morning. We've had a pretty mild winter. Where we live in Iowa, southeast corner, it's not as bad as it is up north. But we're thankful to be here. Just happened to come out here in the middle of winter. I don't know how that happened, amen. And so Lord worked that out. But glad to have my wife with me, Heidi. And we've been married 35 years. And she's able to travel with me on this trip. And so I'm thankful for that. She's not done much of that over the years. But I think she's here with me because of her daughter who lives in Wheatland. Amen. And so, and then we've got another daughter down south, lives in Mentone, California. Anybody know where Mentone is? Yucaipa, close to Yucaipa, Banning, that area. Pasadena, I think, is not too far from there, right up against the mountains. And so we have another daughter down there. So our daughters have moved to California. And, yeah, my sons have not. So what does that tell you? Amen. So anyway, we're thankful to be with you. Thankful for Brother Rogers and his wife and the great job he has done for a number of years now. First helping to lead, this effort and then leading it, himself the last year or two. And so we're thankful for that. And our desire is to help pastors get involved with the folks who are leading their state up at the state capitol and connecting to legislators. And there's really just, you know, one primary reason for that. Now, they need the gospel, but everybody needs the gospel. Amen. And so certainly it's to try to get the gospel to folks, and we look for opportunities to witness and to get the gospel out. But the real reason, the real focus, is because at the state capitals, as well as in D.C., they make things called laws. And those laws affect us. You know, it was just one law, one bad law, put Daniel in the lion's den. And one bad law on Esther's day, just about, you know, they attempted, Haman did, attempted to wipe out all of the Jews using just one law. So laws are important. Laws affects things. Anybody ever had the opportunity to have a police officer stop you and explain how that a particular law affects you personally? And so laws matter. And I believe that, by God's grace, we live in a nation with representative government. That means that we elect the folks who go to our capitals and who make the laws. So we have a very big responsibility in our nation that most believers over the course of time have never had the opportunity to be involved in. You know, they've ended up with kings and monarchs. We had a daughter, our oldest daughter, and her husband spent 5 years in Thailand as missionaries. They're not there anymore. But in Thailand, they have a king, still have a king. And in Thailand, as we speak, if you are Thai, a Thai citizen, and you speak negatively about the king in any way, shape, or form at any time, it can be up to 10 years in prison. How many of you would be in prison right now if we'd all be in jail? Have to be one big jail in America to keep up with that, amen? And but that's the law in Thailand right now. You cannot say anything bad about the king. In fact, the king who died not that long ago, a while ago, it was in national news. They had a great big burning for him where they burned him at the end of the thing. And it was a national event because he had been king for, I don't know, 50 years, a long time. He, if I remember correctly, he killed his brother in order to, where's the fellow who's teaching Sunday school today? He killed his brother, I think, or at least that's accused of that, and took over the kingdom back in the, I don't know, in the 40s. He'd been king longer than anybody else alive. He died, but he had a son who was just, and, you know, he was up, obviously up in years, his son's 60s, 70s, living like a reprobate in Europe, and none of the people liked the son, but when the son inherited the throne, guess what? You couldn't say anything bad about the son anymore. He was a wonderful individual from that point forward because he was a king and you don't want to go to jail. And so we have an amazing privilege to live in a country like this where God has blessed us with representative government, where God gave us 244 years ago and even before that gave us our forefathers who had the wisdom to establish a government that has withstood the test of time. Now it's being tested again. And by the way, it's always being tested whether we can keep this republic or not. But our goal is to reach into the capitals, to connect to the legislators, to encourage. One thing we really like to do is to encourage the good and godly legislators. Did you know that in every state capital there are believers? That every state capital we've been in, we're in 8 state capitals right now. And everywhere we go, we find that there are strong Christian believers. Now, some capitals, not as many as others. And I will have to admit that California does not have a surplus of strong Christian believers at your state capital. But we like to find those folks and encourage them. And lift up, like Aaron and Hur, lifted up Moses' arms, lift up their arms, and encourage them and strengthen them. Because we've learned, over the years that if they are not encouraged and not strengthened, they will do one of two things. Either quit, don't run again, or they just start going with the flow. You know, there is a tremendous amount of pressure right now on legislators, and California is a prime example of that, is to just go with the flow. And let me tell you something, folks, the flow is not going in the right direction, in case you were wondering about that. We are living in some perilous times right now. And with the socialists who are actually Marxists and everything that they want to do to our country, are the good and godly legislators need to be encouraged. And so that's one thing we focus on. And another thing we focus on is trying to watch the legislation and let people know what they are doing, good or bad, as far as the laws go. And it's a lot easier to stop a bad law before it becomes law than it is to get rid of a bad law once it's on the books. And so these are things we do, and then to encourage the good legislation. And so I work with Awake America, Pastor Mike Creed. They do this on a national level down in D.C. And so I work along with them, but my focus, again, on the state capitals. But I'm so thankful for Pastor Rogers and his faithfulness in this church, in allowing him to do that and in supporting him in doing that. The meetings we've had here over the years, the investment that this church has made of time and your money, we appreciate that so much. My wife and I appreciate your personal support for us for many years now, and we're very thankful for that as well. So it's good to be with you. Looking forward to the meeting on Tuesday. And then we'll be in the state for 2 weeks. And we'll kind of start up here in the north, moving down to the south, and we'll be down in Banning, 2 weeks from now, with a pastor down there preaching there, and just kind of connecting to pastors across the state and trying to further build the organization here in the state. But be in prayer for us, but we're praying for your state. California is an important state, and God knows that we need the intervention of the gospel here, just like we do everywhere else. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16. Daniel 3, 16. Read down through verse number 18. If you want to go ahead and stand with me this morning, and we'll read the word together. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16. Beginning in verse 16, just read three verses down through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. I thank you for this time. We can look into your word. I thank you for these believers who have gathered here. Lord, there's someone here today who does not know you as their Savior. We pray that they would place their faith 100% in you alone for salvation before they leave this place. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, encourage us in your word this morning, for we ask in your name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As far as our lifetime is concerned, we're experiencing a moment of unprecedented political turmoil on the national stage. Now, again, that's as far as our lifetime. As far as my lifetime, there might actually be some folks here who can go back a little further and remember things a little further back. But as far as our lifetime is concerned, we are going through some political turmoil, no doubt. And anyone who tells you that they know how this is all going to turn out, really be careful. You really can't trust them. Amen. We don't know. But God in heaven, folks, as the pastor mentioned and has been mentioned several times this morning, God in heaven does know. God is not, you know, up in heaven this morning say, boy, I didn't expect this to happen. He's not up there, with that, going on. God does know. And we have to accept, you know, I've learned, over the years as I get older, I don't know about you, but I've had some things that did not work out the way I wanted them to. Has anybody here ever had something not work out the way you wanted it to? Amen. We've got 8 kids. 6 are grown. I've had some things in my life that have not worked out the way I wanted them to. Amen. And, with family, with, life in general. And, folks, I've learned this lesson about those things. And maybe I can't help you with anything else, but maybe I can help you with this morning. The sooner I learn to accept the things I can't change, the happier I will be. Amen. And there's just some things we can't change. But we need to accept them. And that's true in our own personal lives. It's true at work. It's true in ministry. And it's true politically. I'm not happy with how everything turned out at the last election, but folks, we need to accept it and move on. God in heaven knows. So what has happened has happened. And it appears right now, again, on a national level that the left is hell-bent on transforming us into an LGBTQ plus socialist nation. I mean, they're going after it. These proclamations. And I'll tell you what, throw this in here. Republican or Democrat, this whole thing of presidents, essentially ruling by executive order. I've always said this was a dangerous thing, and it's becoming more and more obvious. Folks, that's why we have a Congress. They're supposed to pass laws. And these executive orders, I was happy when President Trump was signing executive orders that I liked. All right? You know, everybody says, well, we don't want a king. Thank God we don't have a king. Actually, we really all would like a king. We want a king who thinks just like we think. Amen? And who would do just exactly what we would do. Boy, wouldn't that make life easier? But I said at the time, the problem with these executive orders, and he put out their executive orders to protect religious liberty. I was thankful for those. But you know what the problem is with an executive order? Is the very next president on the very first day can wipe out that executive order. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen. Things are being rolled back by executive. It's not, folks, it is not a wise way for a country to be run. And God help us to have a Congress that at some point will step up and start doing the right things. But of course, you know, here's the thing. If government is going to do the right things, we have to have people with the right world view. I don't care if those folks are Republican or Democrat. And by the way, if they start with a right world view, and a right world view starts with a biblical worldview. That's what we're looking for. You know, in Ohio, there was a legislator, a Democrat. I think he got termed out, but I heard him speak one time. He came and spoke. A Democrat came and spoke at one of our, pastor days, and he was the strongest voice for pro-life in the state of Ohio. This is just probably 5-6 years ago. A strong voice for pro-life. Now, you know what that tells me? That tells me that he has a biblical worldview. You know what? That's going to affect the laws, regardless of his party. If he has a regardless of anybody's party, if you have a biblical worldview, it's going to change the way you legislate as a lawmaker. That's the very first question I tell folks you should ask. Someone who is running for office, ask them, what is your world view? What, folks, do you understand? Everybody has a world view. By the way, even, this is hard sometimes, folks, even judges have a world view. even the Supreme Court judges have a world view. And everybody has a worldview, and the worldview that we need to have is a biblical worldview. Now, why is a biblical worldview so important? Because it's based on the Word of God, but even more importantly, because it is based on truth. Truth! Folks, what we need is truth! Well, I'll tell you what, you've got a legislator, regardless of party, who has a biblical worldview, who understands the importance of truth, who understands that truth does not change. Boy, you know what? That's the whole problem with this progressive socialist philosophy is it is based on a lie that truth changes over the years. It does not change. It does not change. And they think the truth changes, and they try to mold it and make it their own way. But you come back to the Word of God, and folks, when your truth is in conflict with the Word of God, then your truth has just been proven to be a lie. But we need lawmakers who have a biblical world view, and that's the first question you ought to ask. Now, if in addition to a biblical worldview, they are born again and saved, praise God for it. It is possible to have a biblical worldview and not be a born again believer. We have in our state house, in Iowa. We have a very strong champion for the pro-life movement. He is a Mormon. You know what that tells me? He's not a born-again believer. I mean, not by his doctrine, by his own testimony. He's a Mormon. But he has a biblical worldview. What does that mean? That means that he understands there is a God in heaven and that he is going to one day, now his, the God he has is different than the God the Bible espouses. But he believes he's going to give account to that God. He believes he's going to answer to God someday, and it changes the way he legislates. He has a biblical worldview. But thank God, when you have a biblical worldview that is consistent with the Bible, in the sense that not only do you believe there's a God in heaven you're going to give an account to and that there's a heaven and a hell, but you believe that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. And you've accepted Christ. And boy, I'll tell you what, and you've become a new creature in Christ. That really makes a big difference in the way a person will legislate. And so that's what we ought to be seeking. That's what we ought to be looking for in our legislators. They are making the laws that affect us. And folks, you know what we've learned through this pandemic? We found out that the laws they make do directly affect the church. Well, I'll tell you what, if I had to come out here a year ago and I said, look, all the churches in California are going to be shut down, and one of the big issues involved is going to be, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to be done in a lot of cases by the local health departments. You would have said, oh, that could never happen. Well, I'll tell you what, a year ago, we would have all thought that. What kind of power do those folks have? We found out they got a lot more than we ever realized we'd given them. But the point is, it makes a difference in our ability. There's pastors, even that they look at what's happening and they're saying, look, I'm done with this thing. We got all our people to vote and look what happened. Look what's happening. It's not making a difference. And they're saying, look, I don't want to be involved in it. Look, folks, you're involved in it whether you want to be or not. They're going to make law. Now, if you want to ignore it until the knock comes on the door, then you can do that, and they'll be happy to let you ignore it. But folks, I'm telling you, we are involved in it whether we want to be or not, and it is our responsibility, I believe, as believers. Look, I believe that when we get to heaven, we will be held accountable for how we conducted ourselves, not just as citizens of heaven, but as citizens of America. And how did we work? Look, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, they were involved. They were asked to do so. There was a law that came down that said you got to bow down to this golden image. Well, I'll tell you what, they found out, and they already knew it. Laws make a difference. By the way, it's in the book of Daniel, but Daniel's not here. You ever wonder where Daniel was? You know, maybe he took a trip, you know, said, I'm going on vacation. I can see this one coming, amen. But Daniel's not here. I'll promise you this. Daniel was not bowing down to that image. I believe that the reason he is not mentioned is not because he was bowing. He evidently was out of the country, not there at that time. But I thank God for these examples that we have here in the book of Daniel. And let's take a look at it, and let's go through the story here, and then we will finish up this morning. Look at what they say. Verse number 17, you know the story. The image was built. They were supposed to bow down. They didn't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar calls them up. He's all upset. He says, if it be, he says, why aren't you bowing down? And I like what they say. Let's back up to verse 16. They say this to Nebuchadnezzar. Number one, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. They said, look, we're not sitting here wondering what to say. You know what that tells me, folks? They had decided before this ever came up They had decided where their allegiance was. They had decided what they were going to do. Folks, can I tell you something? If you wait until the last minute to decide whether you're going to stand for the Lord or not, can I tell you what's going to happen? You're probably not. And by the way, if you think that all these big churches around and all these and everyone else, you say, well, boy, they would never force us to do this or to do that. Because if they did, all these other churches, whoa. You know what we need to remember? It was the religious crowd that put Jesus to death on the cross. And folks, they can take this book, and the other side's already done it. They can twist and turn this book to make it say whatever they want it to say, to defend whatever they want to do. It's not just the atheists who can be our enemies and the enemies of the gospel. It can be folks who claim to believe the same book that you and I do, but who take it and twist it to their own devices. And so, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, and this law has come down, and they're saying he is going to deliver us. Look in verse number 17. We're not careful, they say, in their verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They said, look, he can deliver us. He will deliver us. Boy, they said, hey, we know it's going to happen. And then we come to verse number 18. And that's the primary point I want to make this morning. The first three words of verse number 18. Look what they said. They said, but if not. But if not. They said, God can deliver us. He will deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what they were saying? God can deliver us. He will deliver us. But God is sovereign. And if he should choose not to deliver us, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. Folks, do I believe that America can still come back to the Lord? Yes. Do I believe that righteousness can still prevail? Yes. Have we seen instances of that? Yes. When we started going up to the Capitol in Des Moines, this is our 11th year to be at the Capitol there. When we started up there, there was only three or four God-fearing legislators that would stand up when we went around and started meeting folks, three or four that people said, hey, there's a born-again believer out of 150. Isn't that interesting? We've got 3 million people in Iowa. We got 150 legislators. You've got 39 million people in California. You only have 120 legislators up in the Capitol. But out of that 150, three or four, God-fearing. You know what we have today? Somewhere between 20 and 25, God-fearing, many of them born-again believers, who God has raised up, folks. And you say, well, how did they get there? We don't work with campaigns per se, other than locally. If we have a good candidate running, we might, we will try to help that person win in that situation. But, we don't go out as a group and really work with the recruiting and the campaign. I'm not against it. We just don't have that capability. But God has raised these folks up and they get up to the Capitol and we meet them. I've been meeting them these last 2 weeks, the new class coming in. And I'm telling you what, God has brought some amazing believers in addition to the ones we already had, adding to that group. And that's why already in the first 2 weeks in Iowa, they've passed through the House, through subcommittee, committee, House floor debate on Wednesday night. For 2 hours, debate on the floor, and already on the House side, passed a Protect Life Amendment that claims, that will say in the Iowa Constitution that there is no right to an abortion, based on the Iowa Constitution. That's already passed this time, and it's going to start in the Senate this week and run through the Senate. We're passing some other legislation moving forward quickly that would be not even have been a thought 10 years ago. You know why? Because God has brought folks up there, and by God's grace, we've been able to encourage them, and God has added to their number. And people, you know, the people you have up there determine the policy that comes out. And God has done that. So I believe that God, we've seen it there, we're seeing it there. I believe God can change things. I believe God can change hearts. I believe God can raise people up. You say, well, there's no hope here. There's no hope up the Capitol. Oh, yes, there is. God in heaven is still on the throne. Things can change in a hurry. Somebody who is a popular politician all of a sudden may find themselves in not such a good situation, like a governor who's wondering now about his political future in a state you may be familiar with. Folks, those things can change. We had a governor who was going to, he was a Republican, but he was not as strong as we would like on many things. And by the way, let me just say this. The Republicans can be as much as part of the problem as the Democrats are. God help us. We had a governor who was not as strong. By the time he was done serving, he was the longest serving governor in American history. And he was going to be governor until he decided not to be governor. I'd come to that conclusion. But you know what happened? President Trump got elected, and President Trump tapped him to be the ambassador to China. So we helped our governor pack and put him on a slow boat to China. Amen. We didn't do that. But you know what? That moved him out of the way. And his the lieutenant governor, Kim Reynolds, became the governor. And then she won election. She has signed a heartbeat bill. Now our previously Democrat-controlled Iowa Supreme Court would not allow that to move forward. But you know what? Four of those justices who were blocking us on the Supreme Court level, two, and we're talking now as recently as just 3 or 4 years ago, two of them are deceased, and another one retired, and the other one is forced into retirement because he turned 73, and in Iowa, you can't serve past 72. Folks, I'm saying, and now we will have, right now we have a 6-1 conservative Supreme Court in Iowa. And that was a 7-0 liberal court in Iowa when they forced gay marriage on our state back in 2009. Folks, I'm saying God can, and we didn't have anything to do with that. I'm saying, but the Lord can change things. If we will pray, if we will just do what we can do. Now, we can't do very much. Sometimes all we can do is show up, right, Brother Rogers? But you know what? When I started going to the Capitol in Des Moines years ago, there was another group there, our Family Policy Group, which is a really great group, does a really great job. But there was a fellow there, Chuck Hurley, and Chuck said, look, he said, 99% of it is just showing up. Just showing up. Folks, you go back, study the Bible, and find there's one significant, massive miracle in the Bible that God did when nobody showed up. But after that, every single major miracle in the Bible, somebody showed up and God used that person. And so Brother Cranston, what was that one miracle where nobody showed up? Creation. Amen. That happened before we showed up. But you go back through your Bible. In fact, you go to Ezekiel 33 and you say God saying, look, I sought for a man among them. God says, look, I'm just looking for somebody because I in my sovereignty, I have chosen to do my work through people. But I need somebody who will stand up. I need, folks, you understand, if it were not for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we would not have this story we're looking at today. Everybody else bowed down. You would have to think that there had to be some other believers among that crowd. But you know what they did? They just went along with the flow. God's looking for folks to stand up. I'm saying God can still do it. But if God should so choose not to do it, then it shouldn't change anything. We should continue doing right, even if the law says you can't do right. We must continue to do right. If you were to put it in today's vernacular, God is able to deliver us. But if not, we are not going to support the killing of the unborn. Amen. Amen. We're not going to do it. If you come to us and say, look, we're going to shut you down if you don't support abortion. Say, hey, then you're going to have to shut us down. We're not going to change. We're not going to excuse adultery and fornication. By the way, folks, if we're going to be hard on all of the other and take a biblical stand, which we should, on homosexuality, because that's what the Bible says and the Bible's truth, says it's a sin, amen? But if we're going to be hard on that, let's not forget, it says that adultery and fornication are sin too. Amen? Just as wicked, just as wrong. You know, back when I was just coming out of Bible college, and we had pastored there in Burlington for 28 years. And but back in those early days, and back when I was a younger person, you knock on a door, and you start talking to a young couple, and if you found out that they were living together out of wedlock, that was like, oh wow. But you know what? You know what the surprise is today? If you knock on a door of a young couple and you find out they're married, you're like, whoa, well, are you Christians? You know, what? Unfortunately, I'm afraid a lot of times they're Christians that aren't even understanding of what right and wrong is in that area. But I'm saying, folks, God help us. We've got to stand up for the truth across the board. We can't excuse adultery and fornication, and we're not going to affirm the LGBTQ plus lifestyle. Now we love everybody. And as a pastor, I have had a lesbian couple come and sit in our church. And I have preached the gospel to them, and I respected them, and I showed concern for them like I would anybody else, but I preached the truth to them like I would anybody else. It's not, you know, the left will say, well, if you don't agree with, you know, if you don't, won't agree with that and won't affirm that, then you're a hater. That is a lie. We are not haters. And if you are a hater, then you're not reading your Bible. I don't know. My Bible says Jesus came and died on the cross for sinners. Amen. And you know what? My sin is just as evil and wrong as somebody else's sin. And my sin condemned me to hell like anybody else's sin. And we need to love the sinners and reach them with the gospel and not compromise our convictions in the process and continue to preach the truth. So we're not going to do that. By the way, I was talking to a pastor some time ago of a larger church, Brother Rogers, and he said to me, he said, look, what we want at our church, he says, I'm working right now, he says, we want a policy regarding this whole issue of homosexuality. He says, we want a policy that is biblical, that teaches that it's wrong, it's sinful, but we don't want to be seen as bigoted or hateful by the community. I said, let me explain how you can avoid being seen as bigoted or hateful by the community. I said, you will run their flag up your flagpole, whether it's been or not. Amen.
And you will march in their parades. Because folks, understand, and as believers in the church need to understand, they're not just wanting you to be silent and ignore them. They are demanding that we celebrate their lifestyle. There's three steps to overturning the culture morally. One, you must celebrate what was condemned. And that started years ago when they started saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, lesbianism, and all that whole deal. Second step is you must condemn what was celebrated. That's marriage as being only between a man and a woman. Oh, that's outdated. You can't just believe that. So you got to first celebrate what was condemned. Secondly, condemn what was celebrated. Thirdly, you must condemn anybody who will not celebrate. You know what that's called? In today's wording, that's called the cancel culture. Condemn anybody who will not celebrate. Folks, you understand, you take any CEO of a major corporation in this country, with a possible few exceptions, and let that CEO stand up and make one statement that he believes, that he or she believes, that marriage should only be between a man and a woman. And within 24 hours or less, they will not have a job. That's called the cancel culture. You condemn anybody who won't celebrate. And folks, I'll tell you, if they can take it out as far as they want to go, the day will come, and we're very close to it, when they'll come for the church. You either take a biblical stand, or you're going to take a stand that they do not like. But we're not going to redefine marriage. We're not going to. What else are we not going to do if God determines not to deliver us? But if not, they said, well, what else? We're not going to call a girl a boy or a boy a girl. Folks, you understand. If I had preached this, if I had told you 15 years ago about what was going on now, you would have gone to your pastor afterwards and said, look, I don't know where you found this guy. But he's saying that society is going to be calling girls boys and boys girls. They'd say, look, he is nuts. But folks, we're there today. But we can't bow to it. We're not going to bow down to the culture of godless immorality. Bowing down to this culture is no different than bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. And we've got to decide, as believers, and as a church, we're not going to bow down to it. And folks, it's getting close and personal. I was in a church in Iowa, out in the middle of the cornfields. I mean, literally, this church, a little country church in the middle of the cornfields. And there's a fellow there, a family man who's been working 20 years at Walmart, and his job is in jeopardy because he told them, look, respectfully, I will not wear your rainbow colored vest. I will not celebrate, is what he was saying. And you know what? He's not in danger of losing his job because he wouldn't show up for work. He's not in danger of losing his job because he wouldn't work once he got there. He's not in danger of losing his job because he came in drunk. He's been doing a good job for 20 years, but he is in danger of losing his job because he will not celebrate with this crowd. God help us. And I pray that doesn't happen. Furthermore, we're not going to deny the existence of God. We're not going to embrace evolution. We're not going to worship the creation more than the creator. We're not going to forsake the teachings of the scriptures. We're not going to stop knocking on doors. We're not going to stop winning souls. We're not going to betray our Savior. To summarize it all, we are not going to live by lies. And folks, that's what the left does. They live by lies, and they want us to force, they want to force us to live by lies as well. We just got to say we're not going to do it. In the meantime, we exercise to the fullest extent possible our civic duties. We live and work and pray with the hope that God will intervene. Hey, I want God to intervene. Okay. I don't like the, you know, if I'd have been back then, I wouldn't have been like, oh, I'll volunteer for the fiery furnace, no problem. Well, I don't have any desire for that. We live and work and pray with the hope the Lord will intervene, that our unalienable rights will be peaceably preserved. That's my desire. But if not, if in the end we get kicked off of Twitter, and our Facebook page is shut down, and we're called haters and bigots, and we're ridiculed and scoffed. Folks, can I tell you what? We won't be the first Christian. If that happens, we will not be the first Christians in history to be ridiculed and scoffed. Now, I'll probably be the first ones to get kicked off the Twitter. Amen. There's none of those in the Bible. Amen. And if we lose, God forbid, our 501c3 status, that's like the sacred cow. Like, we will give up everything just to keep our tax-exempt status. God help us. If the only reason you're coming to church is because you get a tax break, you understand, folks, that's not really going to stand up well against the martyrs in heaven. Amen. Well, when you get to heaven someday and meet some of the great believers in heaven, and you get there and they're saying, well, you know, they cut my head off. And they say to you, what about you? Well, you aren't going to believe this. We lost our 501c3 status. God help us. If we lose that, if we lose our liberty to freely assemble and preach the word, may we say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That has to be our resolve as believers. We are going to live for Christ as the Bible tells us to live. Now, we want to get along with everybody. And we want to reach everybody. And we want to live peaceably with all men at to whatever degree we can. But folks, we can't deny the faith. By the way, you know what those big churches are going to say someday, I believe? If this all continues down the same path, they're going to say, look, if we don't go along with this agenda and allow for maybe some homosexual weddings in our church and allow for this or that, allow our bathrooms to be used by whoever wants to use, if we don't do that, they'll shut us down and we'll lose our ability to minister to anybody. So we'll just give a little bit here and there, and that way we'll be able to continue to keep ministering. Folks, you don't think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have justified bowing down one time? They could have said, well, you know what? I'm going to bow, but I'm not going to bow quite all the way. I'm just going to go right to here and hope that nobody notices. Drop your keys. There you go. Whoops, there it is. You know, oh, I'm not going to, I don't have any keys. I'm in California, amen. Oh, it's time to bow. Oh, I dropped my mints. Oh, okay. By the way, it's mints, not chewing tobacco. Amen. I always think about that round thing in my pocket. What people say, oh, that pastor must chew a little bit. Amen. Folks, the good news is God's able to deliver us. He chose to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He chose to deliver Daniel. He chose to deliver Joseph. He chose to deliver Moses. He chose to deliver the children of Israel. He chose to deliver David. He chose to deliver a number of the godly kings of Judah. By the way, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. You know what that means? We're going to have to follow the prescription of 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to have to make sure there's no wicked thing in our lives. But I'll tell you this, it's God who heals the land. And it's God who can heal America. And by the way, it's the Lord who can heal California. He doesn't have to do it. And by the way, we have to remember, as a nation now, we have
murdered 63 million plus unborn children. Someday, there will be a reckoning for that. But I'm saying this, God is able to give us more time, and we need to be diligent in praying, doing what we can do, and trusting God to do what we cannot do. And I'll tell you what, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of that fiery furnace, you know what? They knew there was a God in heaven, but they knew that before they went in. Everybody else knew there was a God too. You know what? Sometimes the worst thing, what we think is the worst thing that could ever happen, God says, look, just let me take care of it. I'll turn it into the best thing that could ever happen. And we're thinking, oh, this persecution, if these laws come again, you know, we don't know what God's doing. But we need to be surrendered to it. And we need to stand for Him while we have the opportunity.